eyes open versus eyes closed?
Yeah.
What are the thoughts? Should one's eyes be open, closed, as one practices?
When you close your eye, it's kind of implied that you kind of want to block out in the phenomenon. You know. But for our practice, we just let everything, you know, arise on its own accord. We don't try to block it out. So we get used to seeing everything, you know, without a closed eye. So it should be okay in this space for you to have your eye open. It's not like you meditate while you are in the theater or in your house or watching TV. So whatever you see here is neutral. It won't distract you, right? So in our daily life, we have to have our eye open, our ear open to all surrounding. So it doesn't matter. But when you try to close your eye, you can. Even you close your eye, it doesn't mean that you are calm. You still think, you know. You still get caught in image, get caught in visualization, get caught in thought. But when you keep your eye open, it's like you challenging in the real world, and you get used to this awareness while you open. It won't bother you even you see something outside or you're thinking, as long as you're aware while your eye open. So it can work everywhere. But then you get used to closing your eye, and then you stop practice. When you go out, you feel, you know, distracted, feel disturbed by, you know. So you start from the right view first, you know. Then you can go from there, and you can practice anywhere. Then while you're sitting in the car, in the bus, in the train, like that.
Can you explain more about watching your thoughts? What that means?
Well, it's a kind of step, our realization of this step of Rup Nam, that we have go to the another stage of seeing thought. Thought is a kind of formation of it's another form of rupa or the thought. When we don't see it, that we get caught in thought, we are carried away by the power of thought. But when you see it, because you have mindfulness, you have inner eye. So when you see it, it just disappears immediately. It won't proliferate. It won't concoct. So it's like it stopped completely before another thought come up. So it's not about analyzing or try to figure out something like that, you know. Then you see it, you have no doubt about seeing thought. So it's about like someone asked Longbo Tien, you know, it is in tool and that field. What do you do when you see thought while you are walking to a restroom? Are you stopping walking? No, you just walk, and when you see thought, you just thought can come up anytime, and when you see it, it just disappears. So by doing walking meditation, it also helps you to see thought. So it's kind of, you let thought come up instead of trying to stop it. When you are at the state of seeing thought, you kind of, you don't block out thought or suppress it at all. The more you see it, the more you are skillful of seeing thought. It's clear to you every time thought arises. But when you're not in the point of seeing thought, you have to stick to this self-awareness almost 100%. So
sometimes the distinction is made between intentional thought and unintentional thought. So, you know, intentional thought is thought that we think to do our job in life, to drive our car back home, to talk to the people around us. But unintentional thought is thought that just comes up by itself. And most of the thought we have is unintentional. It's just constantly concocting. So when awareness contacts that unintentional thought, it just stops by itself because it has no reason to be there. So it's not like it's not like we're trying to obliterate thought or try to say that you can live without thought. We need thought to live in the world, but we don't need this constant concoction, and also we need to know thought for what it is. We need to understand it and know it so we're not tripped by it all the time. We don't need to hand the keys over to it, which is what we do. You know?
Maybe a good alternate term for that kind of thought, unintentional thought, would be chatter. Internal chatter.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you can use this self-awareness to kind of against a thought, you know, against the stream of thought. So by, suppose you are thinking of going somewhere, instead of making the decision to go right away, you kind of step back to be aware more and observe it. If it's a tricky thought or it's intentional thought that you're going to do something, sometimes it tricks you to follow, to do what the thought tell you.
This is more of a comment than a question, but when at first you had said to keep your eyes open, I imagined that I would be very distracted by everything around me. But what I found is after a few minutes, there was so much to see that it just became a part, you know, the landscape, and I found it very helpful to be in the moment, in the presence of everything that was going on, you know, watching the snow and the doves and people getting up, and for me it was a very different experience than the other meditation that I do, and it felt very freeing in a way to just be able to take it all in rather than trying to block it out.
Yeah, you can meditate on watching the white snow and observing your mind. Be aware of the movement at the same time. So that's why we like to meditate with the surrounding of nature. no question?
I have a million, but I just to put the words, yeah, the I to add to your comment, Claudia, it's definitely different with your eyes open. And you had mentioned, Michael, when you're tired, it's okay to have your eyes closed, but I found for myself it's better to walk than to close the eyes. But I enjoy it. I enjoy quiet time. It's nice. You forget when you're, for someone like me, I'm always wanting to learn from everyone. So there's words, there's all these words. So it's nice to have quiet time. But to be aware. So my question is it okay that for me I kind of add words to each movement? So then as I walk, I'm saying the words instead of doing the emotion. Is that similar to the kind of movement?
Yeah, you can use it sometimes if you don't feel like you are really aware of the movement. And they use like that. That's why they use mantra, like in a recitation. But the problem is, you can get attached to that words, and you have not really with that pure awareness. So that's why people who practice rising, they use budo, you know, breathing in, budo, breathing out, do. They kind of get attached to this word in a recitation, and they don't have kind of real self-awareness. So, but for like our master Rompada said, yeah, just keep probably they need like cookie or something first, you know.
Get rid of the distractions.
Then one day you said, oh, you don't need it anymore, you drop it, and you just be aware, just be mindful.
Yeah, I think what we're saying is it's better to
do
not do that. Because you're just adding another thought, you know, the recitation is a thought, and you're just adding another. We're supposed to be trying to see thought as it's happening, you know, as opposed to creating more thought with our practice. But
eventually, maybe the cookie will fade. Yeah.
Or you just decide to give up the cookies. You know? But I don't. It's not like it's normal to start by doing that. Most people don't start by doing that. But he's just giving you permission to do what you want to do.
I have a question about the body movements. So now that I've been doing it a while, I find sometimes I go on automatic pilot, and then I'm not as in the beginning, I was very aware of every movement, and now sometimes I lose that, and sometimes I find that stopping helps me, and then I have to restart. But
that's why we have the stop in between, so renew every movement. But when it becomes automatic, you're not aware.
Right.
Probably you get in thought, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. you're not in the rhythm of awareness. So you sometimes can change posture, and like doing walking meditation is powerful when you can be aware. It's kind of hit hard. It's very very good concentration for that.
But also, it's normal, too. You know, just like she took the mindfulness class with me, and we did mindfulness of breathing. And when you do mindfulness of breathing, you forget your breath lots of all the time, right? So it's so when that happens, you come, you notice that you're not aware, so you come back again to the body, you know. And as best we can, just keep aware of the body and also watch the mind. And we, sometimes we forget ourselves, and then we just come back again. It's just like the breath, but this way, the mind is more alert in general, you know, and it's easier to see thought, I think, with this method. Nipen has gotten very good at cooking. So. Most of the monks in Thailand, they don't cook if people bring him food, but he has to fend for himself in Connecticut. So.
Instead of just sitting still, meditate, but if you are skillful, you can apply to do anything, and you can do something that you never done before. So I kind of enjoy the cooking, so I eat more fresh, hot. So it seems that I'm healthier again. Yeah. So bad. So Thai curry, green curry is one of my favorite. So today you're gonna like it. Yeah, I cook a lot, enough for 20 people. It's easy, you can do it too.
Any other questions for Nipen? Are we having here? Any thoughts? About how most people here have been practicing for a while now.
Can you talk to us about the rope that stretches and breaks?
Oh. That's our master Rinpoche Tien made the analogy of the final or the end of suffering. When he experienced or got to the final, so he said it's like strengthen the rope between two posts, and you cut in the middle, pop up, so it go back to east post. When you want to attach it again, you can. So it's that means our mind no longer concoct. Whatever you see, you just see it. Whatever you hear, you just hear. It doesn't make any story, or it doesn't go anywhere. It's just right there. And then that the task of elimination of defilements is done. No longer it has to do anything.
Okay.
you reached that?
I have comfortable with whatever I experience. I'm sure I still can think, but I don't attach to thought or opinion or feelings. I used to experience something that I didn't even meditate to experiencing the emptiness of self, of everything. Like one day I was composing email, you know, to reply email to someone. Probably I tried to answer about the emptiness of self. But then while typing, and I walk over the window, and the rain pouring down, and I was at Wat Mok, not East Kwantian, in Kwantian City. So when the rain pouring down, the question just came up. He said, "Where's the rain come from?" Mm-hmm. Then the answer said, "It come from emptiness." So it amazed me that I realized the emptiness of the world. So from that day, I was, oh, that's the most wonderful answer. When you know scientifically, you say, oh, the rain comes from the cloud or from, you know. Mm. So I realized that everything just stem up or come from this emptiness. So from the day I was very, it's like I don't have to try hard to meditate because I always look or see things, emptiness of things. So whatever arises in my mind is just easy to see. I cannot claim that I had the state of the roof popping up, but yeah, I just feel confident to teach to a guy practitioner toward this meditation. It's easy for me to be aware of the whole body. Yeah.
Can you talk about when there's the non-attachment to emotion, but the difference between that, the sense of emptiness versus feeling of love and compassion. Often when I meditate, I do start with a metta meditation often, and you know, I get this overwhelming sense of love and compassion. But can you talk about that versus, you know, not getting attached to that, or is that the ultimate goal, or what would you say about that?
Well, when you are at the state, it just it become normal to be compassionate, to be kind to other people. So whether you develop loving kindness or compassion or not, or when you have no suffering, you don't attach to what you're supposed to attach to. You just see how suffer people, you know, being born to share the same suffering. So to be compassionate, you know, you want other people to see this, so you can free yourself from suffering.
Did that answer your question, Barbara? Were you asking is it okay to have loving kindness?
No. I feel it's okay, but I'm just curious about the sense of attachment to emotion and how that might, you know,
be separate from, am I just attached to those feelings, or is that something that you naturally come to as a process of awareness? And I'm just curious to know what you think about that.
No, it's not like you, when you get enlightenment, it's not like you don't feel anything. You like a rock, or you are motionless or lifeless. You can still feel. You can still feel good emotion. I know for me, like, I still feel kind of joy or that feeling when people kind of reunited or do something good. But for bad feeling or sadness, I have it's okay with that. So you won't have sorrow when you have no attachment.
But and she's asking about her practice today, I think, not just today, but just where she's at now. But she has been, she cultivates feelings of loving kindness, and she's asking if that if maybe that's going to be a problem, she should get attached to it. And I think, right? Is that part of
what
I'm asking?
Yeah, I don't really see it as a problem. Mm-hmm. For me, that's certainly okay to feel that. I was just curious.
So the sense that, you mentioned sense of emptiness, it's not a sense, it's an experience, and it's and emptiness is just like, it's not a perfect word for it either. It's not nothingness, it's not devaluing anything, there's no self there, it's just things are just unfolding. The body, mind, the sense consciousness is just unfolding, and there's no owner of it. And when you see that, you naturally have compassion, because you see that in everyone. It's the same. Everyone is the same. So loving kindness happens naturally then. So we don't have to attach to it or worry about creating it. Things just arise and pass away on their own.
Okay, thank you.
Should we have lunch?
Yeah, I can talk more about why I haven't learned it before.
All right,
so
ring it out.
yeah.